If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Today, plausibly live, it's the Zabecast.
We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
Uh-huh. See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
Monday, July 8th edition of the Zabecast, and a tradition unlike any other. Andy, we play Count the Fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You were a smartass. You go, oh, you had enough fingers to dial me, huh?
I think I say that every year, don't I?
I don't know. It's a good one, though. Don't give it up, yeah. By the way.
I won't.
And even if I didn't, I dial you with my nose.
Oh, God. Hey.
Yay. Of course, I don't know what your number is. Nobody knows numbers anymore because we're living in this digital age where we just press the name in our phones and it dials the person we want. Nobody talks anymore. Nobody calls anyone anymore. You call somebody, Andy, out of the blue.
Yeah.
People pick up and go, what's the matter? Is everything okay? They assume you're in a car crash or something.
Well, if you're going to call somebody, it's usually preceded by a text.
Yes.
Are you free to talk?
Permission to call. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can I catch you for a few minutes?
Exactly.
Yes. I like to use a misdirection sometimes, a gentle misdirection on those.
Like?
Well, if it's something that I've got to talk to somebody about, something that's not like fun and happy, but hey, we got to do this or do that, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit, I don't want to say tense, but it's we've got to fix a problem.
Yeah.
I will often instead say, hey, I got a quick question for you.
Oh, you don't want to tie him up.
Well, no, it's a question means the call is important, that it has mm-hmm. to be a call, not a text exchange.
Yes.
And the question softens the worry on the receiving end of, oh, shit, what is the news?
But it may not be a quick question.
No, it isn't.
So you're lying.
I am. You're right. I am gently lying mm-hmm. out of what I perceive to be politeness.
Oh, there's such a thing as polite lying?
I think there is.
Huh.
You don't, do you? You hate lying.
I hate liars.
Yeah,
I do.
I know. Liars and lying is the worst. But there are certain gentle Lies. Does that shirt look good on me?
Oh, yeah.
Do these jeans make me look fat?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, no.
No. Like when Clark Griswold said of Christie Brinkley, her? She's ugly. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Andy is fresh back from the great Northwest, Seattle, yes. Washington, visiting his son Jeremy and his beautiful new bride. Did you get to go to a Mariners game where Cal Raleigh is all the rage?
Yep. Hit two bombs. It was great. Yeah.
You were there for the two home run game on Friday?
Yeah, July 4th. It was tremendous. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so give me the lowdown. Is that your first time to, what is the stadium the Mariners play in? I should know this.
It used to be Safeco Field. It's now one of the telephone delivery things, not AT&T, but something like that. Yeah, okay. T-Mobile
Park. Had you been there before?
I had not. I'd walked past it. I'd not been inside. So this was my first time inside.
And?
Oh, it's tremendous. It's great. And it's funny. We were sitting on the right field side, and we had a view of the city, an actual skyline view from outside the stadium. And I was actually telling Jeremy that you and I, went to see Nats Park as it was being built, and they showed us, oh, yeah, you'll have a view of the monuments. And then when Nats Park opened, you couldn't see the monuments because there was this huge building in front of them that was owned by the Lerners, who owned the team.
That was such a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I guess they had to build parking, obviously, but if you don't have any view of downtown D.C., what was the point in the first place?
Right, and they advertised that. You say, oh, yeah, you'll be able to see the monuments from the upper deck. No chance. No.
I think in Nats Park you can see a little sliver of the Capitol Dome in the far upper right upper deck seats. Right field, right. Upper deck, I think. Right.
Nosebleed. Can't see the field, but you got a view of the Capitol. Mazel tov.
You also really can't see it very well because it's quite a ways away. Yeah, it's several. Exactly. It's like 2 miles away, I believe, as the crow flies. It's quite a ways. So it's not, you know, Nats Park is not a downtown city park, but T-Mobile is, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. We actually walked. We had brunch with my son's in-laws. And that was downtown and near the fish market. And we walked from there to the stadium, which is about a mile. And it was great. Yeah.
All right. So my question, Cal Raleigh, a.k.a. the dumper.
Big dumper.
The big dumper, right. A nickname that was given to him by, I forget, was it his teammates or a sibling? Because he had a big ass. Always.
Yeah.
Since growing up.
I thought it was because someone had followed him into the stall, but no, it was in fact given to him because he has a big tuchus.
Okay. All right. So he is not only the best hitting catcher in the game right now, but he's really one of the stars of currently Major League Baseball, even though he plays in a market that's a large market, but it's up there in the corner of the country. And, you know, the Mariners need to go further in the playoffs to really get people to pay attention. That said, I thought, I'm going to ask Andy, whatever happened to the great hitting catchers in Major League Baseball?
Well,
because they're kind of an endangered species, are they not?
Well, there's Adley Rutschman, the Orioles. He's injured right now, but he's good. But here's a reason I would think that there would become more big hitting catchers in that we have the universal DH. And, you know, Johnny Bench is considered to be the greatest catcher of all time. Never had the DH, playing his whole career in the National League. Mike Piazza, Hall of Famer, all National League, DH.
Why would the DH matter?
Because your bat can be in the lineup more often. You could be, theoretically, every day.
Oh, so you would catch as a hobby, as a side hustle.
Not a side hustle, but catchers, even the best of them, can go maybe 125 games. Even if you stay healthy through the season, because you can't play a day game after a night game,
right.
Doubleheaders, things like that. So I would think that you would have more big hitting catchers in that you could keep their bat in the lineup every day as a DH.
I'm going to look this up while we talk here. Most games played by a catcher in a single season. Has any catcher gone 162 of 162?
That would be amazing.
It would be hard to believe. What do you think the number is before I look it up?
I would say it's below 150.
I would take the under on that as well. Feels like 149 is about it, and it'll be a name of some guy you've never heard. Like, you know, Jesse Iron Thighs McGillicuddy.
Exactly. although to be playing that many games, you got to be a pretty decent hitting catcher. You know, they're going to want your bat in the lineup every day. It's like, you know, Cal Ripken. It wasn't just that he played every day. He was good enough to play every day.
Well, yeah, there's that part of it. And who was it that called catcher's equipment, quote, the tools of ignorance?
Yeah, I don't remember.
But you know that phrase, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which was meant to sort of warn people off of playing the position because it's so brutal on your body.
But there have been quite a few managers who were catchers because they understand the whole field and, you know, have a view of every position on every pitch, you know?
The exact origin is debated. The term is often attributed to former catcher Muddy Rule.
Muddy Rule played for the Senators.
Or Bill Dickey, who both used the phrase to describe the catcher's equipment. And old catcher's equipment is so primitive. I mean, compared to today, now they got the goalie hockey masks that it really are a lot better, more lightweight, easier to put on, more protective. They got a lot of stuff, but still, the way these pitchers throw, like, how terrifying would it be, Andy, if someone forced you as a civilian at 67 years old, right?
Almost.
Put on catcher's equipment, catcher's mitt, and catch live fire from a major league pitcher?
Well, it wouldn't happen. I'd be scared to death.
I would have a gun next to you. This would be like either you do this or you die. This would be like a Squid Games situation.
Yeah, but you know, you'd want to catch somebody who's accurate, and those flamethrowers are not always accurate. Like Nolan Ryan threw 7 no hitters. He never threw a perfect game because he was, you know, a little bit wild there.
All right, Andy, you and I have both lost our bet for under 150. The record for most games played in a season by a catcher is 161.
Wow.
161, and it's been done 3 times.
By whom?
Salvador Perez,
mm-hmm.
Ted Simmons.
Yes, oh yes.
And Joe Torre.
Really?
Ever heard of him?
He played third base. Oh, Torre also played third base later in his career.
I know, but he
came up as a catcher, right, for the Braves.
Yeah. Right. So your played here's some categories of catchers all time. Plate appearances, Pudge Rodriguez, number 1, Carlton Fisk, 2, Jason Kendall, 3. Batting average, minimum 500 games caught, Joe Mauer, Mike Piazza, and Brian Harper.
With White Sox? No.
I mean, yeah, okay. I'll have to look up who Brian Harper is. On-base percentage, Mauer, Gene Tennis, Dick Dietz. Slugging percentage, Piazza, Mike Napoli, and Javi Lopez. Hits, Pudge Rodriguez, Jason Kendall, Carlton Fisk. And then home runs, Piazza, Fisk, and Johnny effing Bench.
Who didn't play that long? I think his career was 13 years, 12 years, something like that.
I know. Yeah. And poor Jason Kendall. Jason Kendall not only, you know, played the position pretty much full time, he leads all catchers in baseball history with hit by pitches. 250. That is double the next guy in Fisk who got hit 129 times.
Well, so
Jason Kendall got hit twice as much as the second most guy, in addition to playing the position and getting beat to hell as a catcher.
But there must be some skill in that. Because if
you don't mind giving up part of your body, your elbow, your arm, your shoulder, I suppose.
But if the umpire thinks you're, you know, sticking that elbow out there because they wear padding now, they won't give you the base.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So,
and then don't forget, Jason Kendall also had one of the worst injuries in baseball history.
Yes,
running around third. Oh, my God. His ankle just went snip, snap, crackly, pop.
I do remember that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. So the trip was good. You got to see a great game. How was the weather up there?
The weather was spectacular.
Yeah.
It wasn't just good. It was spectacular. And,
is it typical for the summer to get spectacular weather up there?
Yes. He says, my son says it's very good. He says in the winter, it can get depressing because there isn't a lot of light.
No sun?
Well, there's some, but the days are short and it rains most days. It does not rain in the summer. And so we took, by the way, we took a wonderful trip to San Juan Island where you can get on boats and do whale watching. We didn't do that, but we drove around to all the little parks that they have there. And guess what we were listening to while we drove from park to park?
I mean, it couldn't possibly be a humble little podcast originating from this very... Oh, my God!
And it was not even the one that I was on. Oh. It was the one where you had Buck Antzinaki.
Oh! Aren't they funny, those two?
It was very good.
Aren't
very
those
good
guys
podcast.
A lot like becoming the two judges in the Muppets up in the balcony?
Well, when it comes to hoops, yes.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, they did not like my argument about the crossover dribble. And I bet Jeremy, being the baller himself, who had a wicked crossover as the 12th man on the bench at Wooten High.
He was not much of a ball handler. He was more of a shooter. But yes.
I know. But anyway, I bet he has some opinions on that.
Yeah, I we didn't really get into that. But here's what amazed me as an old man driving around with him. The podcast stops when the Waze tells us where to turn. That's one, and it doesn't interrupt any of the words. It gets right back to the sentence where it stopped, and we can just get in and out of the car, and it just picks up. It's really cool. It's not like radio at all.
No, so it's kind of hard to imagine how radio's still around. Like, what are you still doing here? And the answer why radio's around is there's an immediacy to radio that creates an urgency. I got to listen now. A trade just happened. The game was last night. I don't know when the podcast I want to listen to was recorded. I don't know when I'm going to get to it. The nowness of radio is always going to be sticky, I think.
It is, but when there's nothing really big, and when I got in the car from the airport, he had KJR on. And I go, who are these guys? He goes, I don't know. I never listened to it. I just thought you might be interested in listening to KJR. And while I was listening to it, they were obsessing about a Mariners game from the night before. And I'm thinking, I'm not really interested in this.
Well, so, I've had some fierce pushback from people saying, you're crazy, Zabe. The crossover has been around forever.
Yeah.
And I say, and my latest email back to one of the guys who said that was, okay. Can you show me the earliest footage of a player that, don't laugh, Andy. This is for me. I'm not arguing anymore. Yeah. I'm looking to actually do a little bit of a research piece here of when can you identify via video or grainy film a player who had the crossover as a staple of his game? I just want to know, because I want to know who the father of it is in modern basketball, because while it may have existed in gyms and practice, which Naki insisted they did, but the coaches wouldn't let them, mm-hmm. I want to know who was the godfather of watch this shit on the court.
Do you think it's possible Bob Cousy ever did a crossover?
Yeah. A simple one.
Okay.
Through the legs, I don't think so.
Oh, I think he probably did. I think he did.
I don't think dribbling through the legs.
And you're not going to want to hear this, but dribbling through the legs is what Pete Maravich did on a regular basis. He did it.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. I know he did the around the waistline whoop-de-woo.
That was a drill. Come on. He was.
He also did that in games.
Oh, he inspired Magic Johnson.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I know. It's a hot button name for you. You go crazy. It's like a dog whistle. You go crazy when you hear it. I'm telling you, he was the father. He was so intent on improving his ball handling. His father would drive the car slowly, and he would dribble out the window while they were driving. I'm telling you, I read books about him.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
That one I have never heard before.
Well, there's a book, of course.
Are you serious?
If I loaned you the book, you'd actually have to open it and read it.
Okay.
But there is, a Keith Maravich
book. All right, okay. You're aware that some of these old stories, not quite 100% true. You know that, right?
That's
like,
possible.
He dribbled out the window of the car.
Yeah.
And what, all the way to school and back when he was a schoolboy, his dad drove him in the snow and the rain.
It was back streets.
Yes, he would dribble in traffic, bouncing the ball off other cars as they passed by. And people would honk and say, well, there's old Pistol Pete. You got to let him do what he's going to do. He's going to be a great player someday.
Okay. Just because it happened before SportsCenter doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Had to yell out to old Jerry Maravich's dad, Jerry, your boy's doing great. Bum, 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 bum.
It was Press Maravich. Maravich, who actually, here's another one, Coach Mike Ditka in high school. How about that?
That's something else right there. How about
that? Dickie used to get into fights. What do you know?
You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job post seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. But here's the deal. Hair loss isn't fun to talk about, but Hims makes dealing with it incredibly easy. No awkward doctor visits, no uncomfortable conversations. Just answer a few questions and their medical providers will determine if the treatment is right for you. They've got everything from chewable tablets to sprays and serums using clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can help regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. And get this, they'll ship it right to your door for free if prescribed, all for one low price, no insurance needed. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Zabe. That's hims.com/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's hims.com/Zabe. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variants, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at mybookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. Mybookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast.
All right, let's go to New York City, Coney Island.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn was there.
Three, two, one. Put down your hot dogs! Ah!
Joey Chestnut is top dog once again. The world's greatest eater downed 70 and a half hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes, capturing the mustard yellow belt for the 17th time.
This is what I love. It was electric. Dogs were great. My last two times competing here, I did 62 and 63, so it was nice to get back in the 70s. Next year, I feel like I can improve.
Oh, my God. So Joey Chestnut returns, is back on top again. What do you think of this annual tradition?
Well, it's disgusting for one thing, but he is absolutely
remarkable. I agree.
But here's,
I can't really watch it because it makes me queasy.
Thinking
of how that must feel inside of you.
Oh, yeah. The most amazing thing, though, is, and I watched the introductions, we actually had to leave to go to brunch while this was going on. So that was pretty good because, you know, it's 9 o'clock in the morning in Seattle, right?
Right.
So the amazing thing is they introduced all the contestants. There were like 20 of them. This guy, George Shea, does a great job with this. He's got just the right tone to do it. But not one of them was a fat guy. There used to be a couple of fat guys in this.
Well, Badlands Booker won the lemonade chug contest.
Oh, he did. Okay,
and he is 350 if he's an ounce.
Yeah. Okay. But the hot dog guys were all regular, you know, fit guys. Yeah. They looked like it. They looked like athletes.
He chugged, Badlands Booker chugged a giant, I think it was a gallon, and a big gallon glass decanter of lemonade. And all I could think about was how much that would burn your throat at some point, and then just how much sugar was being infused into your body at that moment, and how on earth could your body handle that rush of sugar? Jesus.
Well, how about that? How about the sodium from the 70 hot dogs?
Well, yeah, there's that as well. I guess it's a testament to the human body's resilience that it could absorb such extreme consumption.
Right.
But it's also kind of disgusting and a little bit insulting to people who don't have food, you know?
Right. And I believe there's got to be some long-term damage. I think Kobayashi has some issues now that he
swallowing issues?
Or whatever they are. They're health-related because, well, you know, he's the guy, you know, Chestnut came along later, but Kobayashi was the one who took it. He was like really like the Babe Ruth of this.
Right.
Like the previous record had been like 15 and he did like 35 or 40 or something like that. And then it just continued to escalate.
On we go to Wimbledon. Who are these tennis chicks these days? Because of a slew of upsets in this year's Wimbledon tournament, there is guaranteed to be a new ladies singles champion for the 8th year in a row. And I look back at the previous winners, and I couldn't pick them out of Duke Ellington's band. They were the ones holding the saxophone.
Yeah, once Serena left, it was wide open. Yeah, it's crazy.
Garbiñ Muguruza, Angelique Kerber, Simona Halep. Oh, I remember her. She was the gal that had it fully endowed breasts and had a breast reduction surgery, I believe, to help her out. I got to go look that up. Ash Barty, Elena Rybakina, Marketa Vondruvosa, and Barbora Krejcikova. What's going on the women's side, Andy? Why do we not have a singular champion? Not just Serena, but before that, you had the icons you could look forward to seeing. The Steffi Graf's, the Monica Seles's, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Man, well, actually, the Monica Seles, Steffi Graf story is really tragic.
With the Gunther Parch, the unemployed lathe worker who took a huge knife and stabbed her with it.
Stabbed her because she didn't want her.
She was a stalker.
Steffi Graf lover.
That's right.
Didn't want Seles to overtake her, which she was on her way to doing. Number one. So he literally stabbed her in the back. She made a comeback. I think she won a couple more majors, but was never the same. And that would have been great if those two would have gone at it like Martina and Chris had a generation before.
But, right.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore.
The women finally get paid the same as men.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to Billie Jean King.
Thanks to Billie Jean King.
Woman, hear me roar.
Well, I don't know if it was that, because there was a pay gap that existed long after the Billie Jean, Bobby Riggs thing. It finally got synced up because the TV ratings for the women in the heyday of the iconic female champs, Serena, Croft, Celis, etc., had equaled out, and so they're like, we should probably be paying them similar. Also, the tickets for each of the men's and the women's finals were about the same because the women were so dynamic. I think tennis, of all the sports that both men and women play, tennis scales, Andy, the best to women. And by scales, I mean it looks and feels as similar to the men's game as anything else.
Well, it also has the longer rallies that I think people like.
Right. In some ways, it scales better because the men, the big servers, are just boom, serve, ace, boom, serve, ace.
Right. And now it is three sets, too. Best of three for the women, best of five.
Yeah, same money, less work. Good for them.
but that can go either way. Like, sometimes we'll have an epic match that goes like 5.5 hours for the men.
Right.
And everybody will claim they watched the whole thing, which is not true. No. And you could have a compelling women's match that goes three sets that lasts, 2.5 hours. So, it's different.
That is not true, Andy. I have watched many five-set classics in Wimbledon history, okay? I was there for the Isner-Mahut match in 2010. If you know my voice, you know who I'm mimicking right now.
Yes, but I will say this about my buddy Kevin Sheehan.
You outed him!
If he says it, I believe it's true. There are people in this business, Skip Bayless, who say they do things and don't actually do them.
Okay, so you think Sheehan watched all 11 hours and 5 minutes over 3 days? 11-hour, 5-minute match.
If he claimed it,
well,
I believe he
did.
I don't think
Sheehan claimed it, but that's how long the match was.
I know. But
3 days, 11 hours, 5 minutes of actual match play. Isner won the epic encounter 6-4, 3-6, 6-7, 7-6, and then 70-68.
Crazy.
That tiebreaker set.
Yep.
Oh my God. Although, no, wait, that's 70-68. That's points, right? That's not games.
I think they've since put in the tiebreaker. Maybe they didn't have the fifth set tiebreaker at Wimbledon at that point. That might have been it.
I don't know. There's just so many young women and ladies playing tennis at a high level all over the world, but especially in Europe and Eastern Europe, that this is their ticket to, big time money and sports superstardom. And so they're really applying themselves. The notion of, well, we'll just get some pretty girl with a rich daddy and a ponytail and send her down to Nick Bollettieri's tennis camp in Florida, and we're going to have a Wimbledon champion, doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah, I think there's more opportunities also for girls, women in basketball here than there are in other countries. So I think that, because colleges, they can go places like UConn, be a star. Right. I don't think you have that. So
meanwhile, did you see Chris Fowler, who still calls Wimbledon and does it very well, because Fowler is just he's a pro's pro when it comes to broadcasters. But he showed people what it was like, the broadcast booth at Wimbledon. And believe it or not, it's called the bunker because it's down at court level in the corner with windows that go up and down, and you can't even stand up in this thing. And that's where they call Andy. In all my years of being a sports fan, I had never seen that actual broadcast booth.
Would you rather have that?
You? Was that new for you?
I had not seen that either. But
so that was new to you as well.
Yes, absolutely. But wouldn't you rather have that than doing a game at like Nats Park where you're up in the rafters, or the hockey booth at the Banks, whatever they call the arena,
Capital One.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I'd rather be at court level.
Fowler did not say, and I was waiting to hear his thoughts on this. He didn't say whether it was a good seat, bad seat, or somewhere in the middle, because it was all about his gratitude of getting to call Wimbledon. Here he is.
The very first stop at Wimbledon this year is this beautiful office, the center court bunker, where we call all the biggest matches. I can't tell you how it fills me with emotion and gratitude to come back here every year. This is the place where, you know, Dick Enberg sat and described Wimbledon on NBC. And for years, as I was growing up, Dick Enberg was my portal to this place. And I viewed the championships through his amazing lens. And to have the privilege of sitting in this place along with John and Patrick and Chrissy and the rest of our team and describe matches is kind of beyond my ability to communicate it.
That's very cool. Very humble for a really good broadcaster, guy that I like.
Do you think that there is sort of a Wimbledon thing, much like the Masters, in that you can't call the fans fans, you have to call them patrons?
And, you know, that's a great question. I don't know how stuffy the All England Lawn and Tennis Club is. My sense is their stuffiness approaches that of the Green Jackets, although nobody could match the friggin' Green Jackets in terms of their, that's not proper. I'm actually curious as to whether or not Fowler needed to get permission to do that little thing to say, hey, would you mind if I filmed this and just showed people where we broadcast from?
Right. It may be that, but I would also look at a guy like Bud Collins, who used to wear those loud sport coats and, you know, kind of took it in a different direction. So
they didn't mind Bud Collins. They appreciated his colorful candor on
but
the matches.
But he loved tennis. I mean, he was. I remember watching Bud Collins when he was doing matches on PBS back in the 60s, when everybody had to wear all white, not just at Wimbledon. And that was just as we were going to the open era, what they call it now, you know, because it used to be have to be an amateur to participate in the majors. You couldn't be a pro.
Right.
So he I loved tennis when he started to do that on PBS.
I grew up watching Wimbledon as appointment TV, literally sitting crisscross applesauce legs in, you know, front of the TV. And I need to get back into it, even though I don't know a Marketa Vondrousova from an Ash Barty. I'll learn. I got to get back into tennis, damn it.
No.
So, mark my words.
Guy Gazette.
Do you want to start? You and I could play tennis once a week, old man tennis. 57-year-old versus 67-year-old. Let's go.
I used to play, and I used to play a lot. And I told you.
Let's play again.
But I don't move very well anymore.
Yes,
got a
you
bad
do.
Back.
Gavalt. Come on, Andy.
You used to have to wait an hour on the public courts. Now you have to wait an hour again, but nobody's playing tennis. They're all playing pickleball.
Unbelievable. All right, let's end on this. How did MLB fumble the 4th of July? This is a great point made by, my friend from Fox Sports Radio. Here it is right here. I'm just trying to scroll to find it.
Can't Such a great it. Friend. You can't remember his name.
Aaron Torres. Fuck you. I'm not just panicking because I want this to be smooth, and I don't want to edit anything out either because I'm lazy. Aaron Torres says, the NFL owns Thanksgiving. The NBA and now NFL, to a certain extent, owns Christmas. College football still owns New Year's. How is it that on 4th of July, with no one else competing for eyeballs, you cannot find an MLB game on anywhere nationally to pass the time at 8 p.m. Eastern time on the 4th? What a wasted opportunity to grow the game. Is he right?
Well, they even had the Mets playing the Yankees, and they didn't do that. Yeah,
where was that game on?
It wasn't nationally. I know that they
was it on like Netflix or something or Amazon Prime.
Well, and not only that, they have fights now over, you know, whether you can have it on your cable system, you know, whoever carries the game. So yeah, the NFL. But the NFL can also take games and put them on Netflix, and people will pay to watch them. Nobody's going out of their way to watch a national baseball game unless it's, you know, just sitting in front of them.
Right. But what baseball needs to do is they need to learn how to embrace marketing and sizzle and a little bit of P.T. Barnum. And they need to say the 4th of July is America's day for baseball. And here's what we've got planned. And have games sequenced throughout the day, starting with a special game somewhere, like the Field of Dreams game.
Mm-hmm.
Play that one at 11 a.m. on 4th of July to get people to go, ooh, okay. and then make sure that the night ends with the juiciest matchup of the slate. And it doesn't have to be big markets, just the two best teams that are facing each other from a good ballpark, not from a shitty dome somewhere that'll be half full. And you put that on network TV. It has to be on network. And you have to promote it as it's on network TV. And call it America's Day of Baseball and hype it to the moon. That's the only way you're going to do it. You can't just go, well, we had baseball. You have to check your local listings and your regional cable providers and maybe some of your streaming services. Do you have MLB Stream? You could get that to watch a game. No, no. Put it in the bloodstream of America, Manfred, you stupid moop.
I know. They even have teams off on Memorial Day. You know, everybody ought to be playing on Memorial Day. And also, look what's happened to the All-Star Game. What else? The Midsummer Classic. Oh, boy. Reggie Jackson hits the Transformer in Detroit. That was 71. I mean, you know, can you remember highlights of All-Star Games since? Yeah, Dave Parker with the throw from right field. But not many. You know,
all the highlights are negative highlights, like Bud Selig. Throwing his hands up in frustration, saying, well, what am I going to do? The game's tied. We can't finish it.
Can't Pete Rose running over Ray Fosse, 13th inning. Come on. Hey, come on.
Hey, come on. All right. Looks like Bradley Beal is going to give back $14 million to the Suns to allow them to buy him out of still a remaining $110 million. And then he'll be able to sign for the mid-level exception for a contending team. The notion of a guy saying, yeah, sure, you can have this $14 million back? Crazy.
I don't get that. I don't know how the Players Association is letting him do it either.
They just are.
I mean, look,
when you're still going to make $96 million to not play for a team, I guess you can flip him back $14 million. To get out of there.
I guess so, but it does seem to set a precedent that they don't want to be there, I don't think.
Yeah, but this is what distorts the whole league, is that you're going to have Bradley Beal, who, at the right price for a new team, can be a real addition, you know, can be a real asset, but you should have to pay a going rate for him. So the new team won't pay a going rate for a key component player. It's his old team paying it. So
yeah. Well,
I guess it's like the new husband moving into the divorcee's house that she got in the settlement, right?
Hey, he's sitting in that chair. That was my chair.
That's right. Don't look at any pictures from your old house. Just move on down the road.
Exactly.
All right, Andy, thank you for your time on this Dead of Summer Sunday, July 6, 2025. Glad you're back safe, and we'll check in next week.
All right, Zach. Take care.
There you go.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at mybookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. Mybookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast.